Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. En el nombre del Padre, el Hijo y el Espíritu Santo. Amen. Good morning. It's a beautiful day. I like the way the sun goes through the window, and that beautiful window right there is really cool, you know. I'm sure that you guys enjoy it as well. Thank you again for the invitation to be here. It's a privilege and an honor to be here at St. Albans. I did preach here many years ago when Jeff Fisher, Bishop Jeff Fisher, was the rector here at St. Albans a long time ago. But I'm grateful to be back in Waco as well, which was a time of formation for me and of people that had patience with me and that loved me. One of the things that was very special in my life, in my family, was my mom's rice. It was just the thing that almost like connected us all. And the smell and the taste was very unique. That as soon as you come from home from school, you know, you smell it and you get excited, right? Your mouth gets watered and just to eat. And I realized another thing too is that unless I ate that rice, I didn't feel full. And so I could have been eating all these different other things, but unless the rice came into the picture, I felt like there was something missing. And so that was the thing that unites our family. And I tried to replicate it. My wife tried to replicate it because once I left home, you know, now how am I going to get my mom's rice? You know, I mean, she can not email it to me. I need to be able to prepare it and cook it. And we got as close as possible, but never that kind. But it really fed me. Because in that rice was my mom. Her love, her prayers, her compassion, all of those things that she had shared with me were in that rice. And I still miss that rice, even today. I wonder what kind of food Jonathan Daniels ate to be able to do the things that he did. Maybe not rice. Maybe it's the flesh and blood of Christ. A group of monks from Cambridge, Massachusetts, the Society of St. John the Evangelist, they do an invitation prior to communion saying, "Behold what you are. May we become what we receive. Behold what you are. May we become what we receive." And I imagine that Jonathan Daniels had received something that he had become. The prompting him to answer that call from Dr. Martin Luther King to go to Alabama to be able to support those who were marching for voting rights. And he was only 26 years old. You know, we were exchanging. I don't think, did you tell me how old you were? You told me that you were like 10 years younger than me, right? Yeah. I'm not going to say how much. What my age is, or yeah, but I'm more than double that of Jonathan Daniels, you know. And so I can imagine, like, what has happened to Jonathan Daniels that inspired him and pushed him to take this risk. And after marching and protecting and supporting those who were marching for voting rights, he decided to stay in Alabama. I mean, who does that? I wonder what he ate, all right, that made him stay there. And you may have heard the story of the courage that he had, not only in jail, but also taking the bullet for somebody else. And he is who we celebrate today as well. May we become what we receive. May we become what we receive. As you can imagine, when you eat something, right? Just like I ate my rice, it becomes of who I am. This is a saying, right? You are what you eat. And when we receive the body, the flesh, and blood of Christ, there is something happening on that to us. You can just imagine all of those things being becoming part of your body, going through your bloodstream, and just impacting everything. Becoming what we have received. My dad is 80 years old now. But when he was 8 years old, I'm from Peru. He ran away from home. He was living a life that was very abusive. He couldn't take it. At 8 years old, so he just left. And he started living in the streets of Lima, Peru, going in and out of homes from different family members that would open the door, but he would escape. He couldn't be contained. And that was his life for many years. And when he was 17 years old, he was hungry. He was desperate. And he was standing next to the window of his store, looking at all the shiny things that were on the other side of the window and trying to figure out, like, how do I get my hands on these things? You know, how do I get my hands on these things? And all of a sudden, the door opens. And the owner of the shop came out. And you can just imagine that my dad's hair must have, maybe like mine, you know, like, got all stringy and high and said, like, oh, you know, sweating. But he was surprised by the guy's question. He says, how can I help you? So my dad said that he doesn't know why these words came out of his mouth, but he said, I need a job. And that guy not only took him in, gave him a job, a place to live, food to eat, clothes to wear, impacted his life. I wonder what that shop owner ate. Some years later, my dad went to Bible school, met my mom, the rice maker. They wanted to continue their studies. My dad wanted to continue his studies, so he went to Guatemala. For 4 years there, we lived in Guatemala, my sister, my parents. And then we ended up in Texas, in the Rio Grande Valley. I don't know how many of you guys are familiar with the Rio Grande Valley. We lived in Hardingen, and then we lived in McAllen. And it was during the time that we lived in McAllen that my dad and my mom decided to move to Houston. And so my sister and I, we stayed in McAllen as they went to Houston to establish themselves, get a place to live, some jobs, right? My dad had already been a pastor for 20 years in a different denomination, and he was sure that he would find a job in a city so big as Houston. But he had a hard time finding a place to pastor. So he started doing different odd jobs. He started cleaning offices, gardening, and delivering pizza. And it was one day that he was delivering pizza when he got mugged and beat up. He said that he pretended that he was unconscious, so the guy stopped hitting him. And the guy took his money and probably the pizza too. So he ended up at a hospital in Houston called Bentov. In the emergency room, looking like Rocky, you can just imagine. And he said, what do I do now? New place, big city, I don't know that many people. So he got his wallet, he got those business cards. You guys remember business cards, right? He started calling these people, these pastors from the different churches around Houston that he had met, and nobody would answer. No one would answer. And he found the last one, which was from an Episcopal person. It was a bishop. In the Episcopal Church, he had met at a conference. So he's like, I only met this guy once. I wonder if he's probably think I'm weird. You know, like, what should I call him? But he was desperate, so he called him. And he actually answered the phone. And he said, I cannot go right now because I'm about to start a quinceañera. But as soon as possible, I will be there for you. So I imagine maybe 2 hours later, in comes a guy through the doors of the emergency room, still wearing his vestments. I was telling Aaron this morning, he's like, I don't know about you, but I don't walk around with my vestments. You know, and I know that after a service or something that I've done, you know, I feel like, oh, Lord, I have praised you and given everything for you. I need at least a little bit of time so I could take off my vestments and rest and drink some water. But this guy came with everything. I wonder what he ate. I wonder what his food was, that he became that what he received. My dad was crying. He thought it was Jesus coming through those doors when he saw him, and he said, the bishop said, "Who? What are you doing here? You know, the last time we met at that conference, you were a pastor." how did you end up here? And he told me the story, how things that were happening, and he said, I'll find something for you in my church. So he took him to St. Matthew's Episcopal Church in Houston. His name is Hugo Pina. He was the first bishop, Episcopal bishop in Honduras. And after some years, he left and came to Houston to pastor a growing Latino, Hispanic, Spanish-speaking congregation within St. Matthew's. And said, I'll find something for you. He found something for him in the office to put papers here, move things like that. And little by little, he started to involve him in the life of the congregation. He knew he had a seminary degree, so he invited him to teach some classes. And little by little, my dad got involved in that church and went through the process and became a deacon and later a priest in the Episcopal Church. All because somebody had become what they received. Just like Jonathan Daniels. My dad is 80 years old right now. He had a stroke back in 2018. He's a retired priest now. And he has more energy than I do. Even at 80 years old, he is, like this past week, passing out backpacks to students in the A-Lift area in Houston. While I was inside my home, you know, with the air conditioning. But my dad had also become that what he had received. This is what one of the other brothers from the Society of St. John, the evangelist, said, David Reinhoff. He said, we cannot proclaim the good news unless we ourselves have received it. We cannot expect others to be transformed by it unless we ourselves have been transformed. We cannot offer love unless we have first received it, that love. We love, the author of 1 John reminds us, because he first loved us. How many of you have experienced God's love here? How many of you have experienced God's mercy? How many of you have experienced God's forgiveness? And that's what we are called to be to all of those people that are waiting for some hope. I'm sure there's people here in Waco that need some forgiveness, some people that need mercy, some people that need love. To be reminded that they have been made in the image of God. Do you know anybody? Do you need to hear it today? Because you are. You are loved. And there's nothing that can separate you from His love. So I pray that each of you, including me even, may become the so many things that we have received from that God who loves us unconditionally. Starting in your homes, in your families, in your neighborhoods, and through all the different ministries of St. Albans. We continue to proclaim that good news of a God who loves us, who has given us everything. Amen.